Here's what I noticed. I noticed some of you, when it was time to come apart, had more trouble than others. Do you know that that is because of the way you're wired? Those of you who are very pastoral, it's like, can't we just talk a little longer? Some of the other giftings, you're okay. Some of those of you who are apostolic and just are project and strategy oriented, when someone says it's over, it's over. Come on, hey, didn't you hear them? Those of you who are evangelistic love to talk. Now, why am I saying that? Because it's important that we understand that we are different for a reason, and that that's a good reason. And I'm not making fun of, I'm pointing out the uniqueness of the giftings that we have. Well, did you all get a handout when you came in for tonight's teaching? Freedom, the way of the kingdom. To remind you, this month and next month is the kingdom module, if we could say it that way, of higher call. And we wanted to start on that foundation because the reality is that the kingdom of God is way different than the kingdom of man. And the church is way different than a business. It's way different than a corporation. It's not an organization. It's an organism. And so we wanted to establish some truths about the kingdom of God because the ministry for you and I does not take place in man's kingdom. It takes place in the kingdom of God. And we're functioning out of that kingdom. So we're functioning out of those kingdom values where it's more blessed to give than to receive. Where he who has much, even more is given. There's all kinds of things that Jesus said about the kingdom that just seem like it's just not fair. Or it's just so contrary. And we're going to look at a little bit of that tonight. But I want to talk tonight because Dave mentioned last time, he talked about salvation, the way into the kingdom. Now we're talking about freedom, the way in the kingdom. In other words, he said it last week, the narrow is the way, right? But once you've gone through the door, who is the narrow way, Jesus, you step into an expanse of a kingdom, and it is a kingdom that is freedom. You and I came out of a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light, and one of the biggest differences between the two kingdoms is freedom. And there is a freedom that we step into, and some people struggle sometimes with some of the liberty and the freedom that is potentially ours in the kingdom of God. So I just want to discuss that a little bit. I want to look a little bit about at what we have freedom from. Let's turn to the Gospel of John. Oh, thank you. Forgot to take an offering again. I will. Gospel of John, chapter 8, it's there in your notes. Jesus speaking. He's speaking to, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" It's interesting to me that these people who have said this are in bondage to the Romans, even as they speak. How many of you know sometimes we can be in bondage to things that we don't even know? We become friends with chains. Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if a son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." One of the things that we need to know that we're free from, and Dave talked about it a little bit last week in our whole topic of salvation, we need to know that we're free from the power of sin. We need to know that. See, there was a time when I was a sinner that every once in a while I accidentally did something right. Now I'm born again. I've got the salvation Dave talked about last week. I now have a new nature. It is the divine nature. It is the nature of my Father. Now I am not a sinner. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but occasionally I sin. Big difference. And I am free to live life and approach God with an awareness that no longer is this my sin a hindrance between him and me. And we need to know that because these freedoms that I'm going to lay out here that we're free from, they're things that keep us from doing the things God has called us to do. How many of us so many times feel disqualified from being used of God because we blew it, as if God was shocked that we blew it? See, I am convinced of this. God does not have nearly as much problem with your sin as you do. Now, there was a time when he did, but that was the other side of the cross. Which side of the cross do we live on? There was a time when men could not even come into the presence of God without all kinds of ceremonial washings and getting all ready and getting prepared and doing all the stuff and then going in with the rope around their ankle in case they get struck dead while they're in there. But after the cross, everything changed. The veil was rent from top to bottom to let God out. And guess where he went? He came out of the holies of holies and he went into a brand new holies of holies called the hearts of men and women. Even Gentiles. Oh my God. Do you understand what a miracle that was for this same God who at one time had to keep separation because of sin on that side of the cross? Now on this side of the cross, sin is no problem for God. God does not have a sin problem. Do you? Now that doesn't mean that I don't, you know, and God doesn't make give permission for sin, but he does make provision for it. And we're not going to go there, but 1 John, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. If we've sinned, if we say we haven't sinned, we're lying. You mean I can sin? Sure, go ahead. Let me know how it works out for you. See, my sin will cause more problem with people than it will with God. Now, that is not a license to sin. In fact, Paul says it, and we're not going to go there, but Paul says, what shall I sin? No, God forbid. Why am I saying this? Because in this discussion of freedom, we've got to recognize we're free from sin and the power of sin. I have a new nature. I'm born of God. I'm no longer born of bloodlines. I'm no longer born of the will of the flesh or the will of man. I am born of God and I'm a child of God. And sometimes I'm working out stuff and I don't look a lot like it, but I will not let my stumblings and my downfalls pull me off track from recognizing I'm on my way to see the King. I'm on my way to be about my Father's business. I'm free from the power of sin. I was once a slave to sin. Now I'm a slave to righteousness. And there's some scriptures there that you can look up if you want to later. And there's just a ton more that. But see, that is one of the truths. He said, if you know the truth will set you free. Number two, we have freedom from the power of the devil. Oh, I love this one. Let's just continue on in this dialogue that Jesus is having. What did I do? Lost my place. I've got mentioned in your notes there, John 8:37. I'm not going to start reading that far ahead. I'm going to start at about verse 43. And in the verses prior to that, he's just arguing with the descendants of Abraham, who are really impressed with who they are. And he's not. And then in verse 43, he says, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father. By the way, he's talking to people who believed in him. If you go all the way up to verse 31, how to lose a following in three easy steps. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desire of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me for sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Wow. But the thing I want us to understand, here, we need to know, and I listed a whole bunch of scriptures there. We need to know that we are free. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the evil one. And we need to know that Jesus got the job done. And so many times I hear in the verbiage of believers a confidence and a power ascribed to the devil that he does not have, and that he has been stripped of. And the reason that he has power is because we believe a lie. See, here's the thing that we must understand, and this is what Jesus is saying. On the one hand, you have the Father of all truth. On the other hand, you have the Father of all lies, and they both get empowered in your life by your belief system. If you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, what do you believe with your heart, and what do you confess with your mouth? Concerning the power of the adversary. The power of the adversary is limited to his ability to lie. I hear those thoughts. Then why does he sometimes seem to have so much power? Because people believe the lie. That empowers, it gives him a power he doesn't have. It's a pseudo power. It's actually your power. It's actually the faith of people that believe the lie. But he doesn't have that power. And you might say, well, I work with people every day, and there's a power over their life. Sure there is. But they shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. And there comes a place to where we recognize, and see, we have all kinds of things. We say, well, yeah, but Pastor Bob, in the book of Genesis, the devil starts out as just a little serpent, and in the book of Revelations, he's a big dragon. True. In Genesis, he was a little liar. In Revelations, he's a big fat liar. That's all. And we need to understand that. We need to recognize that he was destroyed. I hear people all the time, you know, they're fixing to do something that they don't normally do, like preach or go on a mission or something, and they say, oh, the devil's really after me. Why? Do you really believe what you're about to do is so important that you all of a sudden got the attention of the devil you didn't already have? Do you realize you're far more fruitful in your daily lives 24/7 than some little ditty you do? Do you realize that if he could shut you down, he'd shut you down? He can't shut you down. But if there is a belief system that, I don't know, whatever, I don't know what people, I don't know, I don't understand this. I've never understood this, to be honest. See, if I thought that if I really stepped out and did something for God, I'd come under the devil's power. I think I'd stay home and watch football. But I haven't found that to be the case. In fact, I've found that when I'm in the will of God, doing the work of God, that there is this tremendous protection and this tremendous grace. Now, listen to me. I'm not saying that he doesn't wage war against us. Oh, yes, he does. I'm just saying, you got to recognize he's a liar when he wages the war and shut him down. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. When I was in high school, I used to run track and cross country, and so I did a lot of running, and one of our neighbors had a little dog, and that dog would come out every time I ran by their house. We lived out in the country, and yip, 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 and follow me literally about a quarter mile down the road. And I had learned from being around animals, you know, whether cows, chickens, whatever, if you just ignore him, they usually leave you alone. But one day, this thing was just driving me nuts. So one day, I just stopped in my tracks, I turned around, and I went, aah! And he just took off running. Beep, 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 beep. That's the tail between the legs. Beep, 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 beep. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That is the picture of the word flee. It isn't just, you know, okay, he backs up. No, he takes off on the dead run. And we need to understand that. Because again, we're talking about being used of God. We're talking about reaching our higher call. And if we're so busy all the time fighting the devil, how do you get anything done? He is defeated. Well, he is too. We need to know that. And we need to believe that. There's some scriptures there I challenge you this week. If this is hitting home with you, if you find something rising up and you say, that hasn't been my experience, I challenge you to read the scripture, look at the truth, and believe the truth rather than the lie. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Either Jesus got it done or he didn't. Turn with me to Colossians. It's in your notes there, Colossians chapter 2. See, many times when it comes to spiritual warfare, and again, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying, see, in fact, I said it to the people this morning I was preaching here. I said, if in your walk with God, you don't from time to time come face to face with the devil, you might be heading the wrong direction. But then my encouragement was to just face him and say, boo. I'm not saying that his warfare doesn't come against us. I'm not saying that we don't have those bombarding thoughts, which are lies. Here's what's been real helpful to me. Anytime the devil speaks to me, I find great confidence in what he says because I know it's a lie. Like when he tells me, you're nothing. Lie. It's a lie. When he tells me and reminds me of my sin, it's a lie. And when he says, you didn't pray today, did he? You didn't read your Bible today, do you think he did? See, all them bombarding thoughts. And sometimes we think it's the Holy Spirit. And we'll do a class somewhere along here on understanding spiritual warfare. But I tell you, it's much simpler than we think. And many times we're trying to throw stones at vultures rather than just swatting mosquitoes. Because the battle is way closer than you think. Vultures aren't going to bother you till you're dead. And guess what? You're invincible. You're not going to die. Don't you love it? You're part of the divine nature. He goes about like a roaring lion. Or liar. Anyway. We are free. Colossians chapter 2, and we'll pick it up at verse 13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the circumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, which he has taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Do you know what that means? You know what the picture is there of that making a public spectacle over them? Somewhere today, earlier today, and somewhere tonight, somebody, I guarantee it, doesn't even take a prophet, somebody is going to score a touchdown on a football field somewhere, and some one of them, at least one of them, when they do, they're going to go into triumphant celebration. Yes! Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. That's what Jesus did when he disarmed powers and principalities. That is this picture in the original language. He had a party. And he's still partying. And we need to know that. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. That was written a lot of years ago. Do you hear the crunch when you walk? We cannot be wasting our time trying to get a freedom we already have from sin or the devil. We have it. And it's released by our belief system that we have it. We have freedom from the regulations and judgments of men. Let's just continue right on here in Colossians. And by the way, there's all kinds of scriptures that back up what we're saying tonight, but I tried to put them in such a way that we can study it. Let's just follow the flow of what Paul was writing. Verse 16 then of chapter 2 of Colossians, just continuing on, after he disarmed powers and principalities and had a party. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding the festival or new moon or Sabbaths, which are shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, the worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ, remember Dave talked about that last week, we died with Christ. When he went to the cross, we were there with him. Doesn't seem possible, but that's because you're linked into time. God's not. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why is through living in the world do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concerning things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom, of self-imposed religion, false humility, and the neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. We need to know that in this kingdom of God, we are also free from the rules and the regulations of man's religion. Praise God. I'm free to stop striving. See, the kingdom of God gives an awesome freedom. What are you kids doing? Don't you know this is a church service? We're about our Father's business, and it's very serious.
Really, Grandpa?
But come on, don't we sometimes get so holy about church? But in the kingdom of God, there's a freedom. I have found this over the years. I've never once seen a kid in a service scare away the Holy Spirit. I've seen some people's attitudes about kids in a service ruffle the Holy Spirit's feathers. Whoops. But see, we're free from the rules and regulations. Do you realize that if you are constantly fighting a battle to be free from sin, free from Satan, and free from the rules and regulations of man, you're so busy, you ain't got busy time to minister. But if we can step into a place of rest and recognize, see, Paul wrote to the Galatians when they were trying, there was a false doctrine coming in, and he was saying, don't let them put this yoke on you. Having been set free, don't take on another yoke of bondage. Because you see, there is a yoke that is easy and light. Come unto me, all of those of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. And there is a place that you and I can minister from that is a place of rest. And it is the yoke of Jesus Christ. And it is a place where we no longer strive with our sin, even though we know we're working on some things. We no longer strive and struggle with the devil, even though we know he's going to face us up now and then. We just know to learn how to say boo. Just learn how to resist him. Just learn how to recognize his voice. And really, his voice comes through from bombarding thoughts. I can rest. I'm no longer fighting a battle of rules and regulations. So when the devil comes to me this morning, or comes to me and say, you didn't read your Bible this morning, I can agree with him and says, you know what? You're right, I didn't. What do you expect? I had to preach. And then I got to do a class tonight. I don't have time to read the Bible. That'll freak the devil out. Because here's the thing. If he can't stop you from serving God, he'll push you over the edge of just rules and regulations. And by the way, I did read my Bible this morning. But not because there was some rule or regulation. Motive is everything. And in the kingdom of God, we are free. See, that's freedom. I love that right there. I like anything that happens that is out of the ordinary because you just might get a chance to preach off from it. Or it might come up as an example. So I have a freedom from the rules and the regulations. Don't let anyone judge you. Sometimes we live under the fear of the judgment of man. It's like, don't let people judge you. You don't have to submit to that. You're free. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you didn't read your Bible today, well, that's okay. But see, if I have, just track with me a minute. If I have a self-imposed, in fact, he used that word. Many times our rules and our regulations to our relationship with God are self-imposed rules. So if I have a self-imposed rule that I should read my Bible a half hour every day and pray an hour every day, and if I have that self-imposed rule, and there's nothing wrong with that, but then it comes to a time and I've got an opportunity to pray for somebody, and there's a voice that arises in my ear and says, you can't pray for him. You didn't pray enough today. You didn't read your Bible. You're not primed to release the healing of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? The adversary likes your rules. He loves. See, he thrived in the day of the law. He's the accuser of the brethren, but guess what? It says he's cast down. But he still likes to accuse night and day, and he likes to. And many times it's the rules that we impose on ourselves, and even as a religious system, we just have all kinds of rules. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't. Jesus only had two rules, and they were both do's. Do love the Father with your whole heart, your mind, your soul, and do love your neighbor as yourself. He said, hang all the rules, all the law, all the prophet on those two things. I love it. That sets me free to be me. That sets me free. It sets me free from your rules. This is a church service! Oh, here comes another kid! Oh, man! Okay. Let's read on in Colossians. Because here's the answer then. What is the answer then? Verse 1 of chapter 3. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. If you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also will appear with him in glory. Then he goes on to talk about putting to death your members. Why? Because you're dead. Now here's where we sometimes stumble, is we think the only way that scripture can become experiential is when you believe it. We think that we've got to do it, and if we can do it, then it's experiential. No, remember, it's about believing the truth. One of the reasons that so often we do not enter into all that God has for us is we think that it's about performance rather than faith. Now, faith produces performance, but performance cannot produce faith. I'll say that again. Faith will bring the performance and the experience in my life, but somehow striving to produce the performance will not bring faith. In fact, it'll usually bring failure. That's why Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Okay, I got to move on very quickly. Oh, I'm not even going to get to it. We have a freedom to serve others. We're free from these other things so that we can serve people. I'm not going to read 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5. But I want to give you a little bit of a homework assignment, and that is just to read that in your own time, not here tonight. It's on the very bottom of your sheet. I want you to see what the Apostle Peter writes and says what leaders should look like. And there's total freedom in it. It's not lording over. See, there are people in this room who I know have been hurt by heavy-handed leadership, and that is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is freedom. Now, not freedom to do whatever you want. The reality is I have a responsibility. Dave has a responsibility. You're going to break into small groups very shortly, and the leaders of the groups have a responsibility to be servant leaders. And sometimes we serve best by leading. Well, I thought I had freedom. You do. But you have a freedom to serve the others around you. So in a small group setting, we have a freedom to be aware of people around us. By the way, if you're free in these three areas, you'll find that it'll be really easy to find your identity in Christ. You won't find it in your performance. The devil can't talk you out of it and out of who you are, and you will not find your identity in your religion. You'll find it in who you are as a person, a son or a daughter of God. Let's turn very quickly to this scripture in Luke, though. I want to end with this. Luke chapter 22. Very familiar portion of scripture. We know from the other context of the other scriptures that this is the Last Supper. Jesus had washed their feet, and he had said to them, in the same way that I washed your feet, you do it to others. He's passing out towels, and they're in an argument about titles. They weren't getting it. They did not understand the kingdom. Just lost my place. Okay, Luke chapter 22, verse 24. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise leadership over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? And yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon you, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." One of the most important things for us to understand in this whole thing of freedom is that in the kingdom of God, leadership and government exists to protect freedom, not bring control. It is to protect the freedom. So in a church, leaders have oversight for the protection of the overall body. And sometimes they need to address one person for the sake of the body. And we can say, "Well, you don't give me freedom." Oh, you have freedom as long as you're not messing with the body, with your, you understand, even in the small groups. We have a responsibility to protect the people, the group. It's not about you, it's about the group. In ministry, it's not about me, it's about the team. And so government in the kingdom of God is way different than it is in the kingdom of man. And that's what Jesus was saying. In the kingdom of man, it is all about the perks. And those who are in leadership lord it over those who are submitted to them. Not so, he said. Let those who are greatest among you be servants. And so this newfound freedom that we have in the kingdom of God is a freedom to serve. This is what higher call is all about, increasing your capacity to serve people. Now, I've over the years, have come across a lot of people who love to learn about ministry, but never want to pay the price to serve people with what they learned. Never want to give it away. That's why we at every turn give you opportunity to somehow serve. That's why Dave had you pray. Give it away. That's why in our little sheet we gave you at the very beginning, we encourage you to be involved in a local church. And we realize not all of you are from this church. It doesn't matter. Whatever church you're from, be involved in serving. That's the freedom. That's your right. We look at Isaiah chapter 61, Jesus, you know, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And it's all about helping others come into the same freedom we're in. Did you know that? The kingdom of God is about freedom, and it's about setting others free. It's about helping others recognize with the comfort that I've been comforted, I comfort others. With the freedom that I've been given, I set others free. With the love that I've been loved with, I love others. With the forgiveness that I've received, I forgive others. Always pulling from God to give out what I've... Paul asked, he just got right in their face by letter and said, What do you have that did not come from God? And if it came from God, why are you boasting? See, we don't have anything to give away that did not come from God. But when we get it, we have to. It's a principle of the kingdom. I have a freedom to serve. I'm free from my sin. I'm free from the adversary. I'm free from rules and regulations. So I'm not fighting those three battles. Now, the only battle I got to fight is loving you. Whew. And serving you. I know lots of people say, I'd love to be a pastor. I'd love to be a pastor. But the reality is, unless you're called to, I guarantee you, you would not pay the price. I mean, just in serving. Now, if you're called to, then you do, because that's the way God made you, and to Him be the glory. I had a wise minister tell me once, do not become a pastor unless you absolutely can help it. Not help it. Okay, so we're going to break up into groups. Oh. I'm going to, group A is over here, and I'm going to have Jeff and Deb stand over there. It's right there, and I'm going to read off the names that are with it.